Today on The Travel Guys,
we have a very special holiday show for you. You know, Tom, all year long we talk about making people a smarter traveler on this program. And today, well, we've got the best of all of the smarter traveler stories from the whole year. We've got two stories about timeshares. We've got a story about how you can get your passport at the library. And then remember when Ed Perkins came and talked to us about how to value your travel on a per hour basis when you were on the when you're traveling?
Boy, I tell you, if we could have done a six-hour best-of show, we might have been able to get it all in. But we have handpicked what Mark and I consider some of the best of the best.
Before we get to that, our friend Chris Elliott has released 8 smart travel predictions for 2016. And so I thought we could take a look at these and see what Chris is thinking about happening in 2016. Tim Winship, Chris's buddy, Tim has been a guest on the program, and he writes for frequentflyer.com and also for Smarter Travel. He sees lower airfares in 2016 because of the continually sinking fuel prices. So Chris says that one of his smart travel predictions is that airfares will actually go lower, and he says that JetBlue and Virgin America may be coming up with a first-class seat that is a little bit more affordable. So I thought that was kind of an interesting
very fascinating approach. Well, you know, that makes sense sooner or later. Now, of course, as we end the year, oil is at an all-time low, back to about 2004. You would think sooner or later, besides it killing us in the stock market, that there will be a benefit somewhere. And this may be where it is with some lower fares.
Well, I think what we're starting to see, Tom, is airlines that used to try to get, you know, $600 or $800 or $1,000 extra for a first class seat across country are saying, well, gee, if we price that at $800, we only sell 2 and we have to give away 14. If we priced it at $200, we might be able to sell all of them and not have to give away any of them.
I'm looking forward to actually being able to afford maybe a first class next year.
Well, and then what will happen, of course, is that the, quote, free upgrades will go away, because if the airlines can sell it for a reasonable price, they won't have to give it away. And then people will have to decide whether to snivel that they don't get an upgrade or whether to pony up a few bucks to do it. Some other things from Chris Elliott. He says smart travel ideas and predictions for 2016, burn your miles. Miles will and points will never get more valuable than they are today. We say this all the time, but devaluations happen all the time. So people who, unless you're saving for a specific event, you need to use those as you accumulate them. Also, Chris says upgrade your phone. I thought that's kind of an interesting travel prediction, because he says there are a lot of great new apps for the newest phones, and the technology like, you know, iPay and Apple Pay and stuff like that is really changing the way people use phones and how much they use them while traveling. So I thought that was kind of interesting. And here's a really good smart travel idea for next year. Chris says, zig when everyone else zags. The crowds will be worse than ever. Head in the opposite direction for the most hassle-free trip. Red-eye flights, road trips, and off-season vacations will keep you and your family on speaking terms.
Interesting.
Sure beats gridlock and long waits in terminals. And he's kind of right. You know, if you want to go someplace, go in the off-season. You know, Yosemite is beautiful in the summer, but Yosemite is beautiful in the winter, too.
There you go.
So some ideas from our buddy Chris Elliott there. And the other thing I might say is smart travel ideas is beware of your airline or your hotel giving away a lot of credit card points, because that means that a devaluation is coming and it is just around the corner. You have any travel predictions for 2016, Mr. Romano?
I predict that if you want to go to Disneyland, and you're looking at what we've talked about, the dynamic pricing, where it will cost you more during the busy season and less when it's not the busy season, that this is what's going to happen. People will be happy to pay the higher rate to go during peak times, but the crowds will be just as busy. And what you thought was going to be a cheaper fare to go when the crowds were light is going to be the same fare that you're now paying, your same ticket prices that you're now paying, and it will be just as busy.
It's a reasonable prediction. We'll get some more predictions after the end of the show. Coming up next, our buddy Ed Perkins talks about the value of your time when you're traveling. This is News Radio KFBK.
And we are the Travel Guys. Welcome. You're tuned to the Travel Guys on KFBK, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Mark Hoffman to my left. I'm Tom Romano. And on the line, one of our favorite consumer reporters, Ed Perkins. Ed, welcome back to the Travel Guys.
Oh, it's always nice to talk to you guys.
Ed, last week you wrote a column on smartertravel.com, by the way, a website that we strongly recommend, especially for the amateur traveler, for the leisure traveler. Great place to pick up really good information. And it's smartertravel.com, and we talk here a lot about making you a smarter traveler. And you, on that website, you will be a smarter traveler if you're around there very long. Ed writes for Smarter Travel, and last week Ed wrote a column called The Hidden Travel Costs You Should Never Ignore. And Ed, you talked about how travel costs people. I thought it was very interesting. I'll allow you to explain.
Okay. I call it travel overhead. And that is simply the cost per hour of just being in a destination away from home. And I use a couple of examples there, but you have your airfare and you have your hotel costs. You will spend more per day on food than you would at home. And without even talking about any admissions to attractions or museums or anything like that, just being in a city away from home costs you money. I figured out two different trips, one for a couple people going to from Little Rock to New York for 4 days, and another for two people from Chicago for a week in London. And in both cases, it turned out about the same, that just being in New York or London cost you almost $30 an hour per person. And for a couple, obviously, $60 an hour.
Does that include sleeping hours as well?
Well, no, this is okay. The point. No, these are useful sightseeing or activity hours.
$30 an hour. There you go.
And so the point being that a lot of times you are faced with a choice of, do you spend more money or do you do something that takes more time? And I'm not advocating or suggesting that people always do everything the expensive way. Don't always take a taxi when you can ride a subway. But if the subway is going to take you an hour and the taxi is going to take you 15 minutes, remember that you're spending $30 an hour just being there wherever you are.
Mm-hmm. Isn't that fascinating, Tom? Read this article that Ed had written, I never, ever thought of travel that way. I think of it on a daily basis. You know, somebody buys a 5-day tour from Sports Leisure Vacations and it costs $2,000. It's $400 a day. I can translate that. But breaking it down into hours, I think, really helps people make decisions when they're out traveling. I mean, think about it, Tom, the example he just gave. If it's cost you $30 an hour to be there and you can save 45 minutes, that's $22 you've saved.
Well, I've put that into my vacation plans on more than one occasion when you're going to theme parks where you have to pay an admission fee and you're going to drive 12 hours for whatever to get there you could have spent a little extra, fly down to wherever it is in an hour and a half or two, get your tickets and spend an extra 12 hours at your destination doing things, as Ed said, at $30 an hour versus that extra long trip. So, you know, I haven't ever done the math, but I'm aware of that, particularly when it comes to places where there is an admission and you do want to spend as much time at that destination enjoying what you're paying for.
Yes, and another corollary to that one is that if you're in a destination that offers an extra cost bypass the lines option, that's often a good idea if the option is spending, during the course of an 8-hour day, spending 4 of those hours waiting in line.
Using Ed's theory, if you're standing in line, you are wasting money. And I don't think it's just a theory. I think what you've pointed out here, Ed, is this is the cost of travel.
Yeah,
And it's a cost of wasting time when you're traveling. And the cost of wasting time when you're traveling is actually quite expensive.
Yes, it is, particularly when you're talking about someplace where you had to buy an airline ticket, or either individually or as a package. And it adds up to more than you would think, is the point of this column. And just to remind travelers that there is that kind of a cost trade-off, cost versus time trade-off, that they sometimes need to make when they're making a decision.
And I think that people do that on a regular basis in their everyday lives. I mean, people think about the time that it takes to do X, Y, Z, and how time these days is really more valuable than money. And I think that's really what you're pointing out here, Ed, is that time is really more valuable than money. And even when you're on vacation, and it shouldn't be, you might not be thinking about time as money, that really and truly time is money, maybe more on vacation than when you're sitting at home in the lounge chair at night watching the old reruns on TV. Ed, before we let you go, I'd love to shift gears for a minute. Last week on the program, we talked with a spokesperson from Spirit Airlines who was kind of trying to defend the business model that Spirit and now Frontier Airlines have developed, this whole thing of, wow, it's a great fare when we start with, but by the time you put clothes on the pig, why, it's in lipstick, it's a little different. I wanted to ask you your thoughts about these unbundled airlines and the way that they're trying to make the public think that their product is a little less expensive.
The first point to be made is that everybody's doing it. It's not just Spirit and Frontier. It's sort of a different degree, but even the big guys, American, United, Delta, they charge extra for a check bag. They charge extra for a lot of stuff. Spirit just and Frontier are just splitting it a little finer. And the reason, as you indicate, is the overpowering importance to them of looking like the lowest fare when you pull up an internet fare comparison on Expedia or Kayak or one of those systems that compares everybody. And being at the top of that list of being the cheapest is very important. So that's what they're doing.
Can the traveling public be that? I don't want to use that word. Can the traveling public be that uneducated?
Yes, in a word. Part of it is psychological. They see that at the top. But, yeah, and as I say, the big airlines are moving more and more in that direction, and I think you're going to see it continue.
So the guy at Spirit Airlines, Ed, says, my planes are full. People love us because, and the reason that we know they love us is because our planes are full. How do you dispute that?
You don't. They're right. Their planes are full. It's the same reason that Ryanair, which sort of invented that business model, is the largest domestic internal airline in Europe. And I think EasyJet, which also does the same thing, is number two. People like cheap. And to the extent that, at least on some trips, they can take the trip without having to check a bag, without having an advanced seat assignment, without having an early boarding and all that other stuff, they will fly for less on a Spirit than they would on most other airlines. But the other side of that one is not only are Spirit's flights full, but Spirit's making money. And so obviously it works for them. I think clearly some customers are obviously in that case, some customers are being scammed. Some customers are paying more on Spirit than they would on American or Delta. But look, it's an open market. People can choose what they want. I'm not trying to defend Spirit, and I've never flown them. And if I'm lucky, that'll continue. But
I think that says it all, Tom, right there. There's a consumer advocate who is saying, I've never flown them, and with any luck, Ed, I really do appreciate your comments. I agree with you. It appears as though, for right now at least, those of us who know better need to keep telling people, and those who don't will fall into the trap. And I guess that's just there's some kind of law about all of that, you know, the way that's supposed to work. Ed Perkins from Smarter.
I think P.T. Barnum wrote that law.
Oh, that one, huh?
Ed Perkins from SmarterTravel.com, where you can find him there. Thank you again for your time, buddy, and for being a friend of the Travel Guys.
It's always nice talking with you folks.
Ed Perkins, always thinking out of the box, always coming up with a different way of looking at how you spend your vacation money.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. Ed has been around in this side of the travel business for as long as I have been, which is 30, 35 years. So he really is an expert on a wide variety of subjects. And as you move around the travel industry, Tom, you find Ed's name popping up all over the place. You'll go to a seminar or something. They'll say, yeah, I spoke with Ed Perkins, you know. And so he really is one of the sage, wise travel guys. I mean, he really is. What a great job he does.
We're here to make you a smarter traveler on a weekly basis, and we've had a chance to do that a few times along the way this year. Mark hooked up with something. If you've ever wanted to get a passport and you just couldn't find it in your regular weekdays to get it done, This particular interview is going to, if you missed it the first time around, you're going to love it this time. Here it is.
On the line is Anita Dash from the Sacramento Public Library. Hi, Anita.
Hello, how are you?
Good. Tom Romano is here with me.
Shh, keep it down, Mark. We're in the public library.
Oh, Jesus.
That's fine.
Oh, goodness.
Do they get loud in the library these days, Anita.
It's true. We are not shushers anymore.
Really?
We're happy to have people speak when they want to.
Okay, so things have changed a little bit.
You know,
bit.
I haven't been in a library. I have to confess this right here on the radio in front of Anita and everything, since she's our therapist at this moment in time. I haven't been in the library for probably 20 years. Last time I was in the Sacramento Public Library was when Sports Leisure Vacations held its 20th or 25th anniversary celebration in the library after hours one
downtown.
Night downtown. Mm-hmm. And that's how long I've been. So the library's different now, you're saying?
Yes, things have changed, and we have a lot more to offer, and there's just a lot more to do. So I think it's definitely time you came back and got a card again.
Well, if you're going to start offering things like passport services...
I'm afraid to go back. I bet you I have... I bet I have a book that's overdue. Well, what's the largest fine you ever assessed, Anita?
The largest one I've ever seen was... quite large. It was a couple hundred, but you know, the person found these lost books and then the fine dropped by hundreds.
Nice.
So there was a happy ending to that.
Don't if Romano comes in, just stick it to him. Don't feel like it. You need to, you know, don't give him any kind of celebrity discount or anything. Anita, it's the reason that we have you here on the radio, besides just to have fun, is because the public library, it has come to my attention for some time now, has been offering a service that is really of great use to travelers. You can apply for a passport at the library?
Yes, you can. We've had this service for a few years, and it's going very well. People are really happy to be able to come in, I think especially because we're open every weekend, every Saturday and Sunday, as well as Tuesday evenings. So people can come in without taking time off from work or missing any time away from school. So it's been very popular.
Now, do you have to schedule an appointment to do this, or can you just come in?
Well, we do recommend appointments just because we get so busy. That way we have time reserved for people and they don't have to wait. We do take walk-ins when we can in between appointments. But, you know, generally people make appointments and we just take everybody in turn and it goes very quickly.
Now, Anita, one of the things that I know from, we were just talking about our buddy John Holloway from Holloway Travel Outfitters, who for years took passport photos for people. And of course, cameras weren't digital then, and passport photo has always been a big deal because when you're renewing your passport, you need to get a photo. And I see here that you can get those photos taken at the library also for a very nominal fee.
Yes, that's right. We offer photos. We offer everything that a person needs to apply for a passport. So you can get your applications from us and your photos, and the entire processing can be done through our office.
So if you've never applied for a passport before, what do you need to bring with you when you go to get a passport?
I think that there are a few things that are very essential. One is proof of U.S. citizenship. So for people who were born in the U.S., that generally means a birth certificate. And for people who were not born in the U.S., that usually means a certificate of naturalization or a certificate of citizenship. So something that shows us that a person is a U.S. citizen.
Okay. And it looks like here on your website, and by the way, if you go to travelguysradio.com, we have links to the library and specifically to the part of the website. I see here you even have a passport checklist for people. You have a link to the U.S. Department of State's website. So this is really a very good service. I mean, a good quality service. It's very complete. And the fact that people can come on Tuesday evenings and they can also come Friday during the day and then Saturday and Sunday, you also take appointments and walk-ins. Do a lot of people take advantage of the weekend opportunity?
Yes, our weekends are very busy because for people who have children, both parents have to be there with their kids. And so that way, people don't take time off from work and miss things that they need to do. So we see a lot of families come in on the weekends, which is a lot of fun.
Now, Anita, Sacramento Public Library is offering this service. Do you know of any other libraries in the area that do the same?
No, there aren't any other ones. In fact, none of our other branches do this yet. It's just our central branch library downtown.
Well, Anita, thank you very much for a few minutes of your time today. This really is a great service, and we're going to leave this link up permanently on our website because at Sports Leisure Vacations, it's one of the questions I get asked the most is where can I apply for a passport? In particular, where can I get the passport photos taken? And oftentimes, those are from folks who may not have the ability to be able to do those things on a weekday during the day. So the fact that the library had these services on the weekend and the evenings is tremendous. Thank you for a few minutes of your time today.
Oh, thank you so much. Have a good day.
You're tuned to the Travel Guys here on KFBK. Mark and Tom, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. And there you go. Everything you need to know about getting a passport on the weekends.
Absolutely. I mean, that really is a terrific service that the City Library has available. And by the way, if you go to travelguysradio.com and you look on the right-hand side, we have the application for the passport. So if you go to our website, you can fill out the application before you even go down to pick up your passport. Coming up after the news, a little earlier this year, Tom and I and Gwen Duncan, all of whom own a timeshare and all of whom...
Good grief.
Yeah, exactly. We don't want to give it all away in case you didn't hear the program, but we talk about our ownership of timeshares. And then we have a gentleman, Jeff Weir, who comes in and he tells us about some really surprising information about the secondary market and all that kind of stuff. Everything you've ever wanted to know about timeshares coming up after the news on this special edition of the Travel Guys on News Radio KFBK.
Thanks for joining us. We're back. We are the Travel Guys. Mark Hoffman, Tom Romano, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. And joining us is Gwen Duncan.
So, Tom, we're talking about timeshares and condos, and you're a timeshare owner, right?
Yes.
And I'm a timeshare owner.
Sadly to say,
And our good friend on the phone with us here, Gwen Duncan. Gwen, you're a timeshare owner too, right?
Yes, I am.
Yes. So let's see. Okay, let's just take a quick show of hands here on the radio. How many people are really happy with the timeshare that they bought? Let me look around here. No, I'm not seeing any hands have gone up. Tom, your timeshare is in Florida, right?
Mine is in Florida, the Viscana,
Mine is at a really cheap place in Florida also, Hilton property.
How about you, Gwen? What do you have?
Mine's in Newport Beach.
Newport Beach. Okay.
Oh. Okay. So
driving distance.
So I bought mine thinking I would buy the cheapest. I asked the salesman. I said, "Look, you know, I want all this BS. Just give me how do I get in this on the lowest possible level, and what are the benefits?" And the guy told me, and I said, "All right, this sounds like a good idea." And I paid, I think, $4,700 for 1 week in the worst week of the year.
Wow, you did get by cheap.
And now they just goose me for maintenance fees and rescue fees. When I can't go on the week that I'm supposed to go, I have to pay a reservation fee. And if I don't go the year I'm supposed to go and I want to keep the points, then I have to pay a rescue fee. And then I have to pay a show-up fee and a leave fee and a you-stayed-here fee. And are you guys finding the same thing?
Oh, yeah, I have. Gwen, I don't know about you, but we hear again we got maintenance fees, which have gone up, I think I got this about 8 years ago, and they've gone from $300 to well over $800 a year for maintenance fees. And if you did the math, the particular week that I have, if you wanted to just go and rent it, you could probably rent it for $1,600.
And
so,
you know that's,
so I'm already paying half of it already. And here again, oh, check this out too, Mark. So I have a week every other year. However,
yeah, I
still have to pay the maintenance fee every year.
Oh.
And I called him up, and I really got
so good, Tom.
Yeah, I really got it on that one. I
you bought the grab your ankles package, I think.
I think that's what it's called. I did call them up and ask them. I says, well, look, if I have it 1 week and every other year, then that means that the following year somebody else has it. And so wouldn't it be I pay this year, they pay next year, I pay the following year, and they go, no, that's not nice. I'm sorry, Mr. Romano, that's not how it works.
It sounds like both of you guys had a different experience. The most confusing thing for me is using my points, because I converted it to points so I could have the flexibility of staying one night or 3 weeks.
Right.
And it's a confusing to do that. And
but you lose value when you do that. I mean, it's like buying, it's like taking your American Airlines points and buying something out of the catalog on the plane. You know,
yeah.
The value you get for that, every time that they get you to exchange the points or do something, they're either extracting money from you or you're, this is just my opinion, that you're losing value somewhere along the way. You're moving from your property to another property, and you're only getting 5 nights there where you had 7 nights at the other place because your points aren't quite worth quite as much over when you leave your home property. And there are just, Gwen, have you had a, you, how many, have you, do you stay at yours? I mean, you know, if somebody offered you a reasonable price, would you sell it?
We haven't been staying at our home resort only twice, and we've traded them around. And my problem at the beginning, before we went to points, was that I paid for a two bedroom. I'm going to get a two bedroom, and they're not going to offer me a studio or one bedroom for the price that I paid for two. And so I would always have to take a two bedroom if it was just Ron and I going. So I figured this doesn't work. So we switched to points, and now we can stay in a studio all the way up to a three bedroom. Stay as long as we want, and it's worked out a lot better for us. But I had to make that change because I was unhappy, you know. And once I made that change, there's so much more flexibility, you know. But it's hard to use all the points.
Same question to you, Mark. Have you used your how much time have
I have?
You spent at your
I've been to the home resort once, but I didn't buy it for the home resort. I bought it for just to get in cheap. And then I must have lost my mind that day, because as a travel industry person, I have access generally to room rates and stuff that if I dig a little bit, you know, usually I can get a fairly good deal. And so I don't need the other connection that these guys provided me to low room rates and stuff. And guess what? The low room rates are not available in New York and some of the other places that are peak during peak times and stuff like that. And they run you around, and it's just, it is a bait and switch like I cannot believe. And it, you know, over there in Hawaii, one of the guy who sold to me, I asked him, I said, what is the conversion rate here? And he said, we get about 15%. So that means that roughly one out of every seven people who goes to one of those sucker things buys.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Well, one of the things I think people should also be aware, you know, you think, well, okay, I'm purchasing a piece of property. I own this 1 week every other year, whatever it may be. It could be several thousand dollars. And you think, well, okay, since I'm an owner, there will be some opportunities for some tax deductions. Well, beware. you even your maintenance fees are not tax deductible. It's not the same as owning a home and having, a mortgage interest and that kind of thing. So buyer beware. If you think that perhaps there's going to be some tax advantages, check with your tax attorney. Not true. If you're just joining us, we are the Travel Guys every Sunday at 3 here on KFBK and at TravelGuysRadio.com.
We've got a guest coming on with us later in the program here, a gentleman who is a writer for a resale and rental website. And to Tom's point, I think I kind of agree with him, because I buy hotel rooms for tours all the time. You can go and stay in a comparable hotel accommodation, maybe not a two-bedroom suite, but in a nice expanded upscale room in these destinations. And by the time you figure what you're paying for maintenance fees and property taxes and all of these other things that are happening and all these other fees that are worked in, would you guys not agree it's about the same price?
It is.
Yeah, and it's actually it's stressful too.
That's as well. You know, let me chime in with one particular advantage of, and here again, since I bought a Sheridan property, one of the things that they did in the sale was they threw a whole bunch of SPG points at me, like a 600.
Oh, yeah.
So I got like 640,000 points, which meant
well,
that I could.
They dangled a carrot.
They did, and I really, really took advantage of that, because that gave us the opportunity to stay at any of their properties for no charge for a couple of years. About everywhere we went, we were on board until we pretty much used them up. But the other thing is this, is if you have family members, and let's say if you're not necessarily you're going to go, if you would really like to gift once in a while to people something extremely special, if you own a timeshare, the opportunity to, and especially if you set it up properly, to give, you know, maybe not the whole week, but three or four nights, you can give that as a gift. And that was very satisfying to me. I didn't use it, but I was able to gift it. I gifted both my daughters their honeymoon vacations, one in Hawaii and one in Florida. And so, you know, that has value.
I think it's really nice, and I did that for my grandson. So yes, you're right. You're right.
But again, not to be the fly in the ointment
here
but
comes, you, here it comes.
You could have bought the same vacation and probably and put them up in a nice hotel. And to the point we made earlier, Gwen, any final thoughts on timeshares and what they bring to the table?
Well, when we bought ours, our thought was we bought two of them. Very worse. We bought two bedroom units, one for each of our kids, thinking, oh, we'll give them one. If anything happened to us, we'd give one to each one of them. Do you think they're going to want one when they have to pay? I mean, this isn't. Hindsight.
Well, I'm horrified over the fact that that my children may inherit the timeshare debt.
Yes, that's the part. At first you're thinking, oh, that'd be a great idea, but it's not.
We are the Travel Guys, and you are listening to our special show here where we're talking about condos and timeshares, and we're talking about those things. You're walking down the street, and the guy says, psst, over here, you can have a free helicopter ride.
You want a free round of golf.
Yeah, and then just let us pull your fingernails and your toenails for a couple of hours with a bamboo sliver, and we'll make this all work for you.
But we all did it. We all did it.
Yeah, how smart of travel professionals. Well, at Gwen and I mean, Tom is here on a pass, so I guess it's, you know, but it shows you that we're all vulnerable to these folks, and it's a buyer beware thing. And really and truly, you know, a number of years ago, Gwen and Tom, folks used to say, if you really wanted to buy electronics, you went to Best Buy and you looked at it and you tried it out, and then you went to Amazon and bought it. Now, Best Buy has kind of fixed that now recently, and their pricing is more in line, and they knew that was happening. But I'm going to suggest to folks who are thinking about buying a timeshare, go to one of the presentations, and without any possibility of buying, you are not buying anything. You're only going to do your homework. Perhaps you're going to a property that you might consider. And then once you've had that presentation and you've gone away, then you start doing your homework and see what you can really buy it for. And I think our next guest coming up is going to have some helpful hints on how you can buy a condo or timeshare on the secondary market.
Boy, this is a guy that I wish I had met some time ago before I invested in condos. Before you think about investing, keep it here. Be listening in 3.5 minutes as we continue on The Travel Guys.
Hold on.
Here to make you a smarter traveler on one of our best of shows, Mark and Tom, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Mark?
Tom, we've already told our listeners now how you and I and Gwen weren't all that satisfied with our condo purchases, but what do you do about it? Or what if you're thinking about buying a condo? Or did you know that you can rent condos? Condos can be bought for pennies on the dollar on the secondary market. Some people are even giving away condos. So we got ourselves a reporter, Jeff Weir, to talk to us about the secondary condo market. Welcome to the Travel Guys, Jeff.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to talk with you.
So, Jeff, you are a reporter, and you write for a timeshare resale site called Red Week. Is that correct?
That is correct.
And Jeff, explain to folks who might be listening, who maybe do already own a timeshare or who are thinking about one, what's the difference between what I was just referring to in terms of the retail market and the secondary market?
Well, the major chains that you're aware of, like Marriott and Disney and Starwood, they are still focused on selling at very high-end retail prices throughout the world. However, there is a glut of timeshares on the secondary market where people are aging and trying to sell. And as a result, there's many, many listings for timeshares all over the place in great resorts that are available on various resale sites, usually for 10 to 20% of what their original price was. And there are some resorts where there's so little interest in buying them because of the saturated inventory that the selling prices are under $1,000. So the market is there for people who want to buy.
Tom, I'm looking right now at the Red Week website, and I just for fun pulled up Maui.
Uh-huh.
And indeed, what Jeff says is true. I mean, there are I'm seeing resales available here. One says $0 to $8,000. There's another one, $999 to $2,500. So indeed, these are folks who are just trying to get out from under the associated expenses, I'm guessing.
That's correct. The fees, particularly at the fancier resorts like Hawaii, might get up to $3,000 per year. And we have found that a lot of owners, as they get into their 70s and 80s, can't afford that annual fee anymore. So they become very desperate to find a way out.
And practically giving them away.
They try to, but frankly, there's an odd psychology in the resale market. When people see something listed for virtually nothing, they suspect that it's a scam. So most buyers are much more willing to pay a couple $1,000s thinking it's a legitimate transaction rather than take a risk of buying something for a dollar on eBay. I did not know that existed as a trend, but I found it out when I started working at Red Week and talking to people in the industry about the psychology of what people buy and sell in the resale market.
You know, Mark and Jeff, I'm looking at Red Week, and I'm thinking as a timeshare owner, I have some property in down near Disney World, and it's a Sheraton property. You know, I sometimes just don't look like it's going to be an opportunity for me to use it. So if I don't, you know, give it to my kids to use before it expires, perhaps Red Week might be a place where I could go and put it up for rent if I didn't know anybody locally. And is that what this Red Week is about, Jeff, a place for people to find those that might want to rent their timeshares or their condos and also a place where that you might be able to sell them?
It's both, but in a pragmatic look at today's snapshot of the industry, rentals are robust in the timeshare market. You can get great two-bedroom, two-bath accommodations in many places for less than you could get them on Travelocity, so there's or Expedia or some outfit like that. The resale market is flat to sagging because the inventory is so great, and that's why some of the pricing is low. There's one other issue, and that is that there are a lot of resorts of there are approximately 1,500 to 1,600 timeshare resorts in the United States, and many of them are wonderful places and wonderful resorts, but there are a lot that are getting old and are not being maintained, and they may be in areas where they're not as popular as they once were. So rentals and resales at those aging legacy resorts are probably pretty poor. The activity level at Maui or some of the fancier resorts in Orlando, they still rent rapidly because people still love to go there. So the cautionary word for anyone interested in buying a timeshare is buy a timeshare in the secondary market in an area where you want to go. Do not buy one hoping you're going to use it to flip it for some other purpose. Buy one that you can get on the secondary market at a good price, meaning a very inexpensive price, and make sure it's a place you don't mind going. Because the downside of owning a timeshare, frequently for many people, is feeling that like they have to use it, they're stuck with it, they have to pay fees, and if they don't really enjoy going there, the whole thing's a disaster.
Jeff, let me ask you, if someone who's listening right now is saying, well, you know, I've been thinking about getting a timeshare, and I've been to one of those presentations, and it seemed to, you know, I'm interested. What would you tell them would be their first step?
Well, the real issue is going to a retail presentation put on and hosted by a major company. It's a fascinating experience that basically is like torture and having your nails pulled at the same time. It's the U.S. version of waterboarding for travelers. However,
he's right, though, Tom. He's right. Having been there, he's right.
It's a good learning experience. And by the way, I go to timeshare presentations a lot, deliberately, to see what the major companies are pitching so I can write about it.
I thought for sure you were going there so that you could get that three nights, 7-day Las Vegas vacation, for sure.
I haven't got that yet. Some days they'll give me a kick in the butt and tell me to get out. But it doesn't matter. The reality is that there are ways to get into the timeshare industry easily, but people have to do their homework. And with the internet availability today, the timeshare industry is totally bollocksed up compared to where it was 20 years ago, because today people can do research and know exactly how much something should cost before they go to a timeshare presentation. And I'll give you an example. If you go to a resort in Hawaii, let's say a Marriott or a Starwood, and you get a presentation tour and you find out it'll only cost you $75,000 to buy a week, you can go on Red Week and find out it'll cost you $8,000 to buy the same unit.
Yeah, so it's pretty. It really is.
If someone doesn't use the internet to do their homework, they are their own worst enemy. So I think number one, research and self-education is mandatory. And then if you want to go through a retail presentation and have your eyeballs plucked out of your head by a sales team, you can do that. But at least you'll know the other side of the coin.
Wow. Jeff Weir, our guest. Jeff writes for a resale website called Red Week. We will have a link to it for those of you who are interested. I strongly suggest to you that if you are considering a condo or even thinking about renting one, go to this website and take a look around and get an idea of what the secondary market is. And if you ever go to a timeshare presentation, do not take your wallet, your checkbook, any credit cards, and tie your hands behind your back. Jeff, thank you so much for your time and for your expertise. You have given us some terrific wisdom.
You are more than welcome, and stay in touch.
Well, there you go. At the beginning of our program, we talked about predictions for 2016 in the travel world. And basically, if folks listen to today's program, particularly about the timeshares, my prediction for next year is that fewer people are going to be paying retail value for timeshares.
Aha, you think so? One prediction that from Chris Elliott, he thinks there's a real possibility we might see some positive action on all these hotel surcharges next year that might help a little bit. All right, we always give away we always award a lucky sports leisure traveler an opportunity to win a prize. Last week, Nancy Giles was one of the two names we called last week. She wins $500 in travel credits from Sports Leisure Vacations. Our winner this week is Kathy Stewart. The jackpot is back to $100. Kathy, if you traveled with Sports Leisure Vacations to see A Gentleman's Guide to Love and Murder on the 12th of December, call our office Monday or Tuesday and you'll win a $100 travel certificate. Thomas, great program, sir. It was fun to put together this kind of best of, and we'll be back. I want to wish everybody a happy new year, and we will be back live next Sunday after New Year's on the 3rd of January.
We certainly will. Everyone, happy New Year's. Be safe out there. We'll look forward to seeing you on January 3rd, the beginning of another year of making you a smarter traveler week in and week out right here on The Travel Guys. Mark, you stay well, and listeners, you do the same.